Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Turn to Genesis chapter 17. I tell you what, I was real tempted tonight to skip chapter 17 and go to chapters 18 and 19, because that's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this deal, and I tell you, I hate to say that I told anybody so, but this country is so wicked. The vote, the will of the people in California said marriage is between a man and a woman, a male and a female. That's how we define marriage in the state of California. And they passed that. Okay. Did it in the state of Missouri, 80% to 20%. Overwhelming majority in this state said marriage is between a man and a woman. In California, and I knew this was going to happen, one judge decided that the will of the people in California was not good enough. And he overturned the will of the people. That, my friends, was never meant to be in this country. Was never meant to be in this country. And it will go to the Supreme Court. And if precedents, and I don't know if you understand how judges work and how court systems work, but they look at the law and then they look at case law to see how other judges defined or viewed that particular law. Once they set a precedent, then if it goes to the Supreme Court, then that means that the vote of the will of the people in the state of Missouri will mean absolutely nothing. And the minority will force upon the majority of the country their unrighteous, ungodly, stinky laws that says two men can get married just like a man and a woman can get married. That is where we're headed. And I wanted to skip over Genesis 17 and get to Genesis 18 and 19 and say, if God doesn't destroy America, He owes Sodom and Gomorrah apology. But I'm not going to say that tonight. I'm going to preach about grace. Amen. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I believe the Bible, don't you? I believe the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible. And I believe that the Bible is in order. And there is an order, there's a structure to the Bible. And anybody tells you there's not, say, well, you know what, there is, I can see it. Okay? And so I want you to notice that from that we are five chapters separated from Genesis chapter 12. Now in Genesis chapter 12, that is when God first spoke to Abram, was his name. And his wife's name was Sarai. And in Genesis 12, God made an unconditional promise to Abram and Sarai. Now, I'm pronouncing their names that way because that was their name before Genesis 17. Genesis 17, God's going to give them a new name, and it follows patterns and structures in the Bible. But here in Genesis 12, God made an unconditional promise. In other words, Abram had not yet done anything to merit the blessings of this promise. He had not merited this gift. It was just given to him. This is what God said. He said, I'm going to bless thy seed. I'm going to bless them to bless thee and curse them to curse thee. And he said, thy seed. He said, out of thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Out of thee. And he was referring to Jesus Christ, who came out of the lineage of Abraham. And God had promised Abram that before Abram had done anything else. It's just like, and we'll get into this few chapters down the road. It's just like Jacob and Esau. Y'all remember Jacob and Esau, right? The two sons of Isaac. And yet, God had already selected Jacob before they were born. God had already, before either one of them could have ever performed any work or any deed, God had already selected them. Now that just kind of blows our mind, and at least some people say, well, it doesn't matter what I do then. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. If I'm going to be lost, I'm going to be lost. It doesn't matter what I do, and I'm just going to lay flat and not do anything. Sound like most American kids nowadays. Amen? I'm just going to lay flat and not do anything, and God will do it. That's not how it is, okay? But anyway, God's going to get, he's already given his promise to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Now, five chapters later, and there's an order here. Five is the number for grace, and we're going to see this repeated in this chapter. By the way, the number 17 is the number for transformation or change in the Bible. It is a number for transformation. It is a number that represents change in the Bible. Now, I don't have time to get into all that tonight, but that's what it is. And so here in Genesis 17, we're going to see a transformed Abram. He's going to be changed. How is he going to be changed? Let's look at what God said. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, if I were to, I'm going to pick on Roy tonight because Bonnie's not here to egg it on, okay? So you won't have to tell her we picked on you tonight. But if I were to just walk up to Roy and say, Roy, now, I mean, you sit here in this church like everybody else. You had better be perfect and not ever sin or never commit any sin ever again if you want to keep sitting here with these people. Number one, that wouldn't be fair. Okay? Because then we would be picking on him. Okay? Number two, he can't. Just me telling him, I don't do anything. Okay? Does the number 70 on a road sign on Highway 55 mean anything? Does that make people not drive 71 miles an hour? That'll stop them. Okay? So just me telling you, Roy, be perfect now from here on out. Don't make any more mistakes. That will not do anything. Number one, my words can't do it. Number two, this is not, it is a commandment, but you need to understand God's commandments. They're different than men's. Men give commandments that men can't follow. God gives commandments that are not just commandments, they're blessings. They're blessings. Now I'm going to ask you a question right now. Right now, is Abraham perfect? Sure he is. Where is he right now? How much more better could he be? So, did what God say to Abraham happen? It did. Because right now, and see, this is how we need to think. Because death of the human body is not the end of our life. Somebody say amen. Okay? So if God says to Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect, that's not just God doubling up his fist and holding it to Abram and saying, you better walk the line, boy, or I'm going to withhold my promise. That's not what it was. God was not only giving a commandment to Abram, he was giving him a blessing. And right now, Abraham walks before God and he is perfect. How many of you understand that now from the scriptures? Say amen. Okay? So that's how it is. And remember, he's always called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three. And Jesus used that and he said, where's Abraham right now? Is he alive? Yes. So God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Abraham lives right now better than all of us here. Somebody say amen. Because as the NIV says, he's got a room in heaven. Or, no, wait. King James says he's got a mansion. Amen? All right. So anyway, walk perfect before me, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee. And I like this. See, here's the words of the King James. And will multiply thee exceedingly. Now I want you to look at what God said here. He said, I am going to multiply you exceedingly. In other words, God said, there's going to be an exceeding amount of Abrahams all over the place. Right? And so those Jews that have accepted Christ and will accept Christ, they are the multiplication of Abraham. Why? Because they have the same what? Faith and belief and trust. We're going to see that here in a little bit. They also, and you and I also, are the multiplied Abrahams. Why? Because we are of the faith of Abraham. Do you believe God? Say amen. Do you believe that God raises dead things back to life? Say amen. Do you trust what God said in this book? Say amen. Then you are Abraham. God has multiplied Abraham exceedingly. And I won't even get into that word exceedingly. Well, maybe just a little bit. When something is done exceedingly in the Bible, what does the word exceed mean? ...70 miles an hour, and you're driving 71 miles an hour. What have you done? You have exceeded the boundary, the limit. Okay? When the limit of us right now, how many of you have limitations? Say amen. And your limitation is everything you see and everything you hear and everything you think and everything you do. We are limited in this world by our flesh. Are you getting this? So the word exceeding means beyond the limitation. And one of these days, my friend, we're not only going to be, we are not only multiplied Abrahams, but we will be exceedingly above everything that we are right now. Jared, you are wore out from this day. Okay? You've been on a hot roof with hot tar, and it's been 102 degrees, normal temperature in the shade, but you haven't been in the shade. You've been up on top of a roof where the temperature probably is, 156. And this guy's wore out. It's because his body has reached its limit. But there will come a time when Jared will not have that body any longer. And therefore, he will exceed those limits. Somebody say amen. We like to eat. Our limitations force us to stop. So think, Bradley, of a dinner table in heaven that is exceedingly beyond anything we can imagine. Chinese? Sure, why not? Okay. Wow, verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Here he is, he's saying it again. Abram, you're going to be a father of many nations. Now, verse 5, look at this. Here we are, five chapters after Genesis 12, and in the fifth verse, God's going to add, in Hebrew, you have Aleph, Beth, Daleth, Gimel, and He. It's the fifth letter. And that's as far as I know. Okay, I don't know any of the other letters. I just know the first five. And if you want to know the other ones, go to Psalm 119 because they're there. They're recorded for us. Every eight verses, you'll see another Hebrew letter. He is the fifth Hebrew letter. So God takes this fifth letter and He adds it to Abram's name. And I like this. I like this. Okay? Because God designed speech. And this stuff just fascinates me. Okay? So how do we say the letter T? How do we pronounce it? Okay? It has a hard T to it. Okay? And K. Or the Jews would go K. That's such a grotesque Mechayim. Don't spit that at me, all right? Hard letters like Bah, Abram, and the M sound that I think it's Mem in Hebrew. These are hard sounds. The H sound, how do we pronounce it? Listen now. It is the sound made by nothing but the breath. Okay? That's the spirit. Just get this, because this is it right here. This is the illustration God's giving us. The hey letter is simply pronounced. It doesn't require teeth, tongue, anything else. It just is the. It's the sound of wind. Pentecost, right? What'd they hear? Okay, so God takes this letter and He adds it to Abram or Avram. And now it's Avraham. He's adding spirit and life to Abraham. And I want you to notice there's several things here. Number one, Ishmael is born on the beginning side of this. Isaac is born after this. Does that make sense to everybody? That's why Ishmael was not the father of Jesus Christ, because he's in bondage. Okay? Now Isaac is going to come, now that God has added the spirit and life to Abram by calling him Abraham. Now he's added the spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? I like stuff like this because God does this stuff deliberately. God has symbols and ideas in every aspect of life. So watch this. So he said, verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And he's not talking about how many earthly kids he's going to have. Notice he said many nations. Not just those who are of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but those who have accepted Christ through faith, by the faith of Abraham. We believe God, and we believe God died for sinners so that we can be saved. Somebody say amen. And some of you are of German descent, some of African descent, and some of you are of Indian descent, and some of you are from just different lineages all over the world. Many nations have been born through the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. By the faith of Abraham. Wow! And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Who is going to reign for 1,000 years over the earth? Jesus and the saints. Revelation 19, the Lord cometh with 10,000. That's what Jude said. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. That is those who are coming with Christ, who have been taken up into heaven, who are now returning with Christ, and we, the kings, they're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And God doesn't tell stories, does He? God tells the truth. Anyway, in verse 7, he said, and I will establish my covenant with between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And don't believe one word of any preacher, pastor, scholar, Bible commentator that will tell you that God does no longer honor His word to Israel. Don't believe him. Because if He lied to Abraham, He can lie to you too. That land does not belong to the so-called people who are not really a real people, the Palestinians. The land does not belong to them. Not theirs. And it's not the United Nations, and it's not the government, the United States government's, to decide who can stay there and who can't. And it's not Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, which I want to tell you something. We got several things going against us right now. Number one, we got this whole Sodom and Gomorrah deal going in California. And somebody told me there's wildfires out there. I'm telling you, every time California does something stupid, they catch on fire. Mark it down. Okay? Not only do we have that going against our country, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Ahmadinejad was nearly killed in an attempt on his life yesterday. And he is blaming Israel. That's not going to go well. Okay, somebody threw a bomb at his motorcade, intending to kill him, and he's blaming Israel. Whew. Anyway, Let's see here. Verse 9. God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old. Why is that number 8? Why? Number 8 is a number for new beginning, new life. Okay? That's what that number represents. When we're saved, we have a new life and a new beginning. That's because we have had the old flesh taken off, and we're now a new body. And that's what that's getting at. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man, a child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thine house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now look at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, what verse are we in? Verse 15. That's 3 times 5. Okay? As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt call her name, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Look at the letter. God's given her spirit now in her name. But Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. He didn't mean Hagar. Sarah was wrong, wasn't she? She led her husband astray. It may be that God might do it this way, and that's not what God said. God's very specific now. She shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. I want you to take your Bibles real quick and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at the New Testament here just for a minute and understand this, because what I pointed out to you a while ago is true. Okay? Number one, God's not going to birth Isaac from Abram until he is Abraham. And I want you to notice this whole deal about circumcision. God did not say, now Abram be circumcised, and then now I'm going to make my covenant with you. That's not what he said. He made his covenant and his promise with him and changed his name first. Then he instituted circumcision. So here's what Paul said in the book of Romans. What did I tell you? Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We read that already. He'd already believed God, and he counted unto him for righteousness. God put it in his account. Okay? His account, Abram had been like me and you, been going out writing bad checks with sin all over it. How many of you wrote sin checks that you cannot cash? Okay? So, we have a big old debit in our account, or credit, or whatever it is. We got it on the wrong side. Okay? And a zero balance on the other. We have no righteousness to pay the bill. So here's what God did. He accounted, that word accounted is an accounting word. He accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, Abram believed God, and God said, I'm going to take and I'm going to wipe out all the sin out of that column, and I'm going to fill you up with righteousness. So now, watch this. Now stop thinking about this. How many of you think, and be truthful now, does anybody here really think that in the lifetime that they know that they have left, that you could spend $6 billion on yourself in your lifetime? I don't think I could do it. I mean, you can buy an island for less than that and live out there and have your own country and have stuff. I mean, you could. I don't know that I personally could spend $6 billion. So if somebody put $6 billion in my bank account right now, I know for a fact that I would never have another need in this life. I don't care what it was. Does that make sense to everybody? God has put so much righteousness in your account. Remember, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God has put so much to a true believer. God has put so much righteousness in your account. You'll never spend it all. As long as you believe God, don't call him a liar. Okay? And people, I run this over in my mind a lot. This issue of the Bible. And I'll just be honest with you. Either the tree is good or the tree is corrupt. One of the two. And if it's a corrupt tree, it cannot produce good fruit. And that's the Word of God. Okay? Anyway, he believed God. God counted to him righteousness. Now verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. There's that debt word again. Okay? So if you want to work salvation, you go right on ahead, but you're still going to be in debt. You'll never be able to pay off the bill, ever. Okay? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is, here it is, counted for righteousness. That's an accounting term. All right, Galatians chapter 3, turn there. And why did Paul write the book of Galatians? Why did he write that book? Why did he write that letter? What was the issue going on that Paul had to deal with? There was people, and you listen to this, there was people in that church, they call them the Judaizers. I don't know, that's not a Bible term, but anyway, Paul calls them witches. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath what? He calls them witches. Witches, witchcraft, and this word was right. Witchcraft has everything to do with you being able to invoke God by saying the right words. It's works salvation, and it's works grace, and it's works performance. Okay? And everything about the whole Word Faith community and Benny Hinn and Joyce Myers and everything else, Joyce Myers is a practicing witch. She is still telling people that if they pronounce the right words and say all the right words and say it with enough positive energy in them that everything that they want will come to pass. Look, it's working for her, isn't it? Okay? And I got my suspicions about something. If you ask me after I'm not recording, something going on in this county, if you ask me about it, I'll tell you. I got suspicions about something. Okay? But anyway, she's got a lot of power and a lot of influence, is what I'm going to say. Okay? Because she's a witch. But anyway, Paul calls them witches, and those witches up there were telling those people, okay, yeah, Jesus died for your sins, and yeah, you're supposed to accept that and all this stuff, but if you're not circumcised according to the law, you're not saved. That's what they were telling these people. And Paul got mad enough to call those people witches, and to call the people that believed them fools. It made him mad. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. Where is he talking about Abram here? In chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. There it is again. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See, that's what God was getting at a while ago. He said, I'll multiply you, Abraham. You're going to be Abrahams all over the place. And he said, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith. I like it. Okay? Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Let's see here. What is it I'm looking for? He's talking in here about the fact. Oh, let's see here. Did I skip it? I can't find it now. I should have made a note on it. But it talks in here about how Abraham received the promise, then was circumcised. He received the promise before the law was given. The law was given, and him to be circumcised was not, it was a sign of what God had already done on the inside of Abraham. It's just like baptism. Baptism does not save anybody, and I don't care what anybody says or how they mess the Bible up and twist the scriptures around. Baptism does not save one soul. It never had, I'm talking about water baptism in a baptistry, has never saved one soul. Now, I don't care how many people we baptize in this church, we're not saving them by water baptism. Water baptism occurs as a result of what God has already done on the inside of somebody and what God did with you when you got saved. Certainly the night you got saved in your living room, if you would have died right then, you'd have gone to heaven without being water baptized. Because you were already baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I'm sick and tired of these people telling everybody, well, you got saved, that's fine, but you got to be baptized now in the Holy Ghost. I've had it. I've had it up to here. If they do not have the Spirit of Christ in them, they're not saved. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit does not come on somebody by somebody going boom like that on their forehead. That's another spirit. That is not God. And people, don't fall for it. Because I set myself, and the reason why I tell you this all the time, I set myself up one time, years ago, what was it? That'd be 1994. That I went over here to this Assembly of God church over here, and I was setting myself up for a fall. Because I was looking for something, and I went over there and said, God, I'm going to go forward now, and if this is for me, if this is real, this is for me, then you do it for me. But I did. I had enough sense. Said, God, if this is not real and if it's not right, don't let me fall down. And I went down to the altar, and I knew something wasn't right. Because there was about 3 or 4 women behind me going, da, 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 da. And I knew that was violation of the Scripture. And then the old boy come by, and I was standing up. He come by, he laid hands on me, put them on my forehead. I didn't fall down. So they come by, did it again. Like it didn't take. And I didn't fall down. And I walked out of that church that night. And I've kept this to myself for years, but I'm telling you now. I walked out of that church that night saying, God, thank you. Amen. For not letting me fall away. And I'm here to tell you, salvation's not by works. It is by grace. Okay? The water baptism is simply the outward sign of what God has already done on the inside of you without man's help. Okay? Without man's help. Most churches right now are marketing themselves on how well they're accomplishing God's will on the earth. Because they're trying to attract you and draw you to their church so you leave your money there. And I'm here to tell you, we're not doing anything. God is doing everything here in this church. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Who in here called Pakistan and encouraged all those people out there to start getting my videos? Who did that? I mean, really, who did that? God did that. Okay? I didn't do that. You guys didn't do it. Alicia didn't do it. We didn't do it. God did it. And so we're just the vessel. Okay? That's all we are, is the vessel. God's going to do the work. There are things probably you want done in your life. God knows about them, by the way. Amen? God knows about them. But God always has a journey, and He has a plan for us. He always got a way that He wants us to go, and sometimes that way seems pretty rough. And sometimes in that way, we get pretty disobedient against God. You ever been there? I have. Okay? And God knew about it all along. In fact, God knows where you're headed more so than you do. Okay? The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, and God is not sorry that He saved you, and He will not ever be sorry that He saved you. Though you turn your back on Him, though you get cold on Him, God will never be sorry that He did that, because He will work something in you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He will work something in you when you get out on the other side. And I tell you what, you say, you know what? Those trials in my life, God just turned into gold for me. God will even let us be disobedient for a while. You know why He'll do that? Because He knows it'll hurt us. It'll end up hurting us so bad that we will swear we will never do that again. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. That's it. Who's doing the work? God is. All we know how to do is be disobedient. Amen? Okay? And yet God's doing the work in us. And you ought to tell God thank you tonight. Somebody say amen. So God gave circumcision as a sign only of what had already taken place in Abraham. Not so that it could take place, but that it already had. And it's that in itself is a picture. One of these days, God's going to just peel off this flesh. Somebody say amen. He's going to peel off this flesh, and we're going to live without it one of these days. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. No more fat belly hanging on the front of my collar. Amen.